Enthroned above the heaven, the earth and all creation, they bow before you.
Yes, yes.
And you are crowned with strength and glory.
Jesus.
The angels crying holy all surround you.
Made it just not a Sunday, but it's a redemptive day. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We've been redeemed from sickness. We've been redeemed, Lord, and we thank you for this day. We give you praise for this day. And Lord, your body that is gathered here today, God, Lord, we just thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we decree and declare that these are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And Lord, I decree that out of my belly will flow rivers of living waters. Ha sakatiya, mosakeya, to your people. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that they do have ears to hear. Yes. Praise God. We just ask that you just open those ears. And they do have eyes to see. Shakatatia. Open the eyes of their understanding this morning about communion and about the Lord's Supper, God, that we can benefit from it. And Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that they have a heart to receive. Eyes to hear, eyes to see, and ears to hear, and a heart to receive this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, praise God. I'm here this morning by assignment. I'm to connect with Apostle Thurston over there. I'm connecting to him. And let me tell you, Apostle loves the Holy Spirit. So he's led and guided by the Holy Spirit. And I'm connecting with him because of the urgency of us needing to know this meal, need to know more about this meal, the need to take it a little more serious. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in a kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
We are citizens of
kingdom
United
of
States, okay, and what else?
Kingdom of heaven.
You're already a citizen. Mm-hmm. Ephesians said you're already a citizen.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every country, every kingdom always have their help system. Mm-hmm. Everyone. Would God be different? Would Jesus be different? No, he would not. He have a help system for his people. Just like we hear, I mean, that's the greatest talk in the political world now, the health system. Everybody want to know about the health system.
Mm-hmm.
And they want that right health system. Praise God. Well, God has given us one. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, in the 11th, don't turn there. I'm going to give a lot of backdrops and snapshots. But I don't have time for us to go to. The ones I have for you to go to, I'll tell you. Okay? But Paul encouraged the Corinthians, take this meal correctly. Yep. Sit down and learn about this meal. Discern it. Examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. Because
mm-hmm.
you can benefit from this meal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just like a memorial. Like we live in a world where they tell us, remember 9/11. Remember the Alamo. Remember this and remember that. And you know when we was remembering 9/11 some weeks ago, they gave us snapshots of what had happened and all these mm-hmm. things like that. But that's not the way God wants us to remember him, memorialize him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the church has taken the same step of memorializing God like we memorialize 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Are you recording me? He always record me. Put it up here, because if it's not, it's I always tell him not to, so he sneak and do it. But if you don't put it up here, when it sounds like I'm far away or...
Mm-hmm.
But you know, yeah. They have asked us to remember 9/11, and we got some quick snapshots. How many was here Sunday? Even the church remembered it. They gave us some snapshots really quick. But that's not the way we're to memorialize Jesus. His memorial is not like that. That's not what he's asking you to do. And we won't remember 9/11 again really until next year at 9/11. And we'll bring up some more snapshots and some more. Let's not enter into the same moralizing that we do with Jesus. When he told us to do this in remembrance of me. He was telling us to remember what I said and benefit from it.
Yeah.
This meal comes with benefits if you will do like he says do. I watched 911 when they memorialized it. All I got was memories, you know, and just couldn't. But this meal will benefit. He said, as often, don't wait till a year or two. As often.
I believe too, man.
Daily.
Conscience.
Huh?
I believe also it tests the conscience.
Yeah, well, we're going to find out many benefits here. We're gonna don't go there now, but we're gonna go to Acts and see how the new church did it.
Yeah, amen.
Now, I'm gonna do something a little different this morning about talking about communion. We know when Jesus died on the cross, let me tell you, Leviticus 17 said the life of the flesh is in the blood. And when Jesus died on the cross, his blood was separated from his flesh. And that created death. But when we take communion this morning, he brings the blood and the body together to create life. There's life here. When you take these communions anymore, take it knowing, hey, I'm taking life. Not just any life, but Jesus' life. I'm drinking life here. Life to any situation, circumstances, physically, emotionally, wherever you need it at, whatever you're being challenged with. Whatever you're being challenged with. You know, there's many different ways that God has given us to receive healing. Laying on hands. Pastor do that a lot on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yeah.
Anointing the sick with oil and praying the prayer of faith. The gifts of healing and miracles. Ha-shakatiya. The spoken word. The acts of obedience. Just go wash your in the pool. Just acts of obedience. You can receive it that way. And you can receive it through communion. Now, receiving it through communion is a little different because you want to create a lifestyle. You know, Ray and I was talking about, he said, you know, we were talking about healing. Ray said, actually, God wants us to be in health, live in health, not just reaching out for healing all the time, you know. You call for healing in the church and all of us go up. There's no room for the sinner people because all of us are down there trying to get a healing. But God wants us to live in
health.
And because he said it. He said, beloved, I wish above all things, that you prosper and you be in health. Not in a healing line all the time.
Oh.
When I need healing, I go right there. I mean, we get lay hands on too, you know. But God really want us to benefit to be in health.
Right.
He wants to be peculiar people, different from the world.
Uh-huh.
That we're not so caught up in the health system, you know. Lord, I don't know what they're going to do if they don't, you know, if, you know, having the same expression that the world have. We don't know what we're going to do if they take away our health. Shakatatiya so cool. Okay. Oh, God, I got to move. We're so familiar with communion or the Lord's Supper and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the foot washing in John, and it's in Acts and Corinthians. But I want to go back from the very beginning that communion was served. And what happened, and the power that it was served in, the benefit that, let's go to Genesis, the 14th chapter. I'm going to have to do this really fast. I didn't realize my time had gone, so. Hashakata, but y'all track with me, come on, people. Now I'm telling y'all to turn to the 14th chapter and the 17th verse, and I'm just going to read it. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter. Let me go back up to the 15th verse. The 14th verse. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them and his servant by night and smote them and pursued them. And the 16th verse, and he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot, and that was not his brother. Everybody know it was his nephew, and his goods and the women, also the people. Okay, let's flip over to the 8th verse and see why he was called his brother, why Abraham called him his brother. Everybody know that that was Abraham's nephew. It says in the 13th chapter in the 8th verse, and said, and Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. He was looking at it as a spiritual matter. Sometimes I introduce y'all, sometimes I say, that's my sister Porterfield. And somebody look at me and say, oh, is that your sister? No. My sister in the spirit. Mm-hmm. Okay, spiritually speaking. Or I can do that, you know, with any of y'all. That's my brother, Ray. Oh, is that your brother? I mean, I know people really would look kind of, you know. But we're talking about spiritual. Yeah. Abraham said it shouldn't be no strife between us like that because we are brethren. Mm-hmm. He took it on a spiritual level. Mm-hmm. And when he, turning back to the 14th chapter, and the 13th verse down here. I got to give y'all some backdrops because we can't read all this stuff. Let me give you some backdrops, okay? Now, what brought on this war, you know, when Abraham told Lot, let's split because we're brothers. We can't be behaving in all this strife. We know Lot went to Sodom. He pinched his tent toward there first, and he kept looking, and he just moved on in. So he went to Sodom, and Sodom, in that culture, Sodom and Gomorrah and three other kings, four other kings had them under control, making them pay, you know. And you know, I didn't know that goes on so strong in New York. Some of that still go on. Some of the stores have to pay for protection.
Chicago, pretty heavy in Chicago.
Yeah, and that's the, well, anyhow. And these kings had done it for 13 years, kind of oppressed them, made them pay, made them in control over them. And so it was Sodom, Gomorrah, and some other kings. They said, we're going to rebel. We've been doing this. They've been over us and control of us for 13 years. We're going to rebel. We're tired of this. And they did. But boy, these four kings that had the control over came in, cleaned out Sodom, took goods, took people, took everything just to show them, like, you're not going to rebel on me like this. But they did one thing wrong. They took Lot. That was the wrong thing to take. And one of the people escaped, ran back and told Abraham, hey, they got Lot. That's all Lot. I mean, that's all they had to say. Abraham said, they got my brother. Mm-hmm. I got to go because this is a brother thing. This is a spiritual thing. They got my brother. It's just like having me. Mm-hmm. Abraham loaded up what he had at the house and allies that they had, and they all came together and they said, we're going to get. He went for the purpose of going. He said, it's a brother thing. It's not a nephew thing. And we all know that he was his nephew. But he said, this is spiritual. He has my brother. Mm-hmm. And he talked with the Lord, and they went, and they pursued. They got the victory. I mean, let me tell you, it was no way for them to really get the victory because Abraham wasn't a warrior. He really wasn't a warrior. But he knew somebody that was a warrior, God Almighty. Praise God. He went, pursued them, got everything back. Got all, got Lot, got all the other people, everything back. And this is the return. What I'm reading you is the return. And when Sodom heard that Abraham was returned, the king of Sodom, he ran out to meet Abraham because he had a trap, a plot. He had a way that he was going to get Abraham. He was going to get him on totally on his side. He had a trap set for him. But it was another king came out to meet Abraham. He was king and priest. And on that level, I'm going to read the 17th verse, the 14th and the 17th verse. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him, and down here at the 18th verse, and said, and Melchizedek, king of Salem. Salem is a short name for Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Brought forth bread and wine. Woo, that's the first mention of communion. We thought it was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But we see our first and we're going to see, I wanted you to see the power here. Mm-hmm. As we study this. Yeah. It says, in Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was priest of the Most High. He was king and priest. And we have to go to the 7th chapter of Hebrew to learn more about him. And I wanted to, but I don't have the time, so I'm just going to. But however, he brought the bread and the wine. Mm-hmm. And most people, most scholar, most theologian would tell you this is just a simple meal. It's like the meal that Sarah fixed over in about the 18th chapter. You know, she fixed for those men that came. She fixed bread. Abraham said, get that bread going and go kill a calf. He didn't tell Sarah to go do it, but the men that worked for him. Go get a calf and da-da-da-da-da, you know. But this is not the same meal. Because that meal didn't need a priest and a king. Jesus is priest and king. You, through the blood of Jesus, you have become priest and king at the same time. And he brought this to Abraham. Now, how did the king of Sodom feel? I'm king of Sodom. I came out to meet Abraham. But instead of him meeting with me, he meets with the king, Melchizedek. How did that king of Sodom feel? Oh my God, that was just a down throw. I mean, you're going to skip over the king of Sodom to go to this king? But that king had the bread and wine. And let's read a little bit more about it. And in the 19th verse, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor. God is the possessor of heaven and earth. Now, in the backdrop here, I told you how Abraham had gone out. I mean, this wasn't no little just war. It took them a while. They were from morning to night pursuing these people. Don't you think Abraham was tired? Don't you think Abraham's body needed a little something? He had eaten. He needs something spiritually, physically. And sometimes your body always needs something spiritually, physically. The whole he just needed the whole nine yards. And most of all, Abraham needed to know what that king was plotting. When he stood here with King Melchizedek, he opened up Abraham's eyes to know what was really going on with the king of Sodom. And if Abraham had got to the king of Sodom first and rejected Melchizedek, he would have hindered the plan of God. But okay, let's just read. And he blessed him and said, blessed be the God of Abraham, most high possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thy enemies in their hand. And he gave tithes of all. Okay, let's skip on down here. Okay, we see here in this meal, this is a very intimate fellowship you can have in this meal. And we don't benefit from it. Because when we take it, we just take it. That's the way we take it. We don't really fully benefit. And I looked at the snapshot, and we will go to, not now, Acts the second chapter in the 46th verse. They took it the same way Abraham took it here. We're going to go there, but not right now, okay? Okay, and he blessed him, and he said, God is the possessor of heaven and earth. And he opened up Abraham's eyes, and I'm going to tell you, as we get over into the 21st verse, my time is way up, but I'm going to go over. Y'all give me 5 minutes. Okay, I'm going over then. 21 verse. We're still in the 14th chapter, 21 verse. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the person and you can take all the goods for yourself. Now does that sound, that sounds fair. He went out and he fought. That sounds good. Don't it sound good? But let me give you a backdrop here. Over in the 13, this is what God said about these Sodom people, the people. He said, but the men of Sodom was wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Whew. But here he is, he's telling Abraham, hey, just give me the people. You can have all the goods, Abraham. But that was a trap he was setting for Abraham. Now, it's not that God didn't want Abraham to be blessed from that. Because look over in the 12th chapter. Don't go there. But in the 12th chapter, we see when Abraham went down to Egypt, Pharaoh loaded him with oxen, sheep. I mean, that man came out of there pretty rich. And he didn't reject it from that king. Because that king didn't have no other trap set for Abraham. But there's things and people that comes into our life come with to set traps. Comes to steal, kill, and destroy in our lives. But here, after worshiping and taking communion, Abraham's eyes was open. Amen. His eyes was open. And it said, and the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. You can have all the goods. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hands unto the Lord. See, when he was over there with Melchizedek, he had his hand up worshiping. And he told king of Sodom, when you saw me over there with my hands lifted up, worshiping God Almighty, this is what I was saying. I have lifted up my hands unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. He's saying the same thing that Melchizedek led him into with worship. So you, I can lead you into worship, but worship got to come out of your mouth. Shakatatia. Okay, he said, possessor of heaven and earth, the Most High God. He's saying the same thing. He said, that I will not take from thread even to a shoelace. And that I will not take anything that is thine. I ain't going to take nothing from you. Lest thou should say, I have made Abraham rich. Mm-hmm.